Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. Mind Your Business with Howie Lim, only on Money FM 89.3.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. Now, Southeast Asia is the world's fastest growing region for PC online games revenue, and the gaming trend is set to grow further with the extended periods of stay-home advisories in the region. But security risks are coming to the fore. Most recently, there have been reports of a wave of Nintendo accounts being breached. Gamers have reported that their PayPal accounts linked to the Switch consoles have been hacked and used to buy games or V-Bucks, the digital currency of popular game Fortnite. PC gamers are also at risk as work and play take place concurrently in the same household. The security risks faced by the gamer can translate to the employee doing work on a business laptop in another room because they're sharing the same Wi-Fi network. This could be worse if one uses the same PC for both work and play. Working professionals also tend to think that they're protected because they have the corporate VPN. But that's not necessarily the case. So let's discuss those security threats resulting from the spike in gaming and the sharing of home networks during the stay-home period with Kevin O'Leary, Field Chief Security Officer for JPEC at Palo Alto Networks. Kevin, thanks for joining us today. Hope you're staying safe where you are.
I am, Howie. Thank you very much.
So, yeah, the potential risks, security risks, that is, with a spike in gaming during this period.
Yeah, actually, I think that you summed it up very well, but maybe we can dive into some of the details.
I think
specifically in terms of the risk to the gamers themselves, in terms of the online world that they find themselves in. So in terms of the online money that's being used, items being stolen, you know, from a perspective of a non-gamer, that might seem trivial, but obviously for people who are in the gaming world, that's extremely important. And if you think about how many people are gamers these days, it's something to take very, very seriously, even just from that perspective. I know for myself, I'm in a family of gamers. All my kids play games, and I do sometimes because I find it a great way to connect with them myself. Having said that, there's much more to than that. It's not just about securing your PS4 or your Xbox or your PC. There's a lot more to it in terms of how that home router is being shared across all of these devices and what the security problems are from there.
Was it safe to say if you weren't a gamer on your laptop, you would be safe? No, yeah. I mean, it's the same security concerns.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think what we're finding now is that because so many people are working from home, they're connecting into the home router, and they're assuming because they're using a corporate VPN that they are protected from the moment that they're on their laptop. But in actual fact, because of the shared use, people aren't necessarily connected into the corporate network directly the moment they turn on their PC. They need to connect to the internet first and then connect into the VPN. Now, that depends on the solution your company is using, but that is quite a common problem. But beyond that, obviously, the shared environment means that the home router itself is being attacked. And we found over the years that home routers in general are extremely vulnerable. And they're vulnerable for a couple of reasons. The main one being that people often don't change the default passwords. They install the Wi-Fi router they don't change the console
the
password.
The dreaded 1234.
Correct. Or admin or others. Yeah, so that's number one. It's very basic. The second thing is that the firmware that's used on these routers is very rarely updated. And it's not that vendors aren't pushing out firmware all the time. It's just that for us to install it, for a host of legal reasons, they can't just push that and update your firmware. You have to accept it. And people don't tend to do that. So my advice to people, if they are going to take anything from this conversation, the first thing they should do is change the password on your router and update the firmware. It's usually very easy and quick to do. It just takes a little bit of effort in terms of looking at the manual for your given router or for your ISP and follow those instructions. Two very simple things that will really increase security in the home exponentially.
It sounds like if you're saying a person is a gamer, there needs to be more security on their devices. Or is it the same?
No, to a certain degree, it depends. It really does depend, because if you think about the home router, often they do come configured with a firewall, and you'll be given the options to set up the firewall when you install it. But then when you're trying to connect your console or your PC and you're trying to connect these online games, suddenly you can't connect anymore. So the next thing you do is you follow instructions to open up the ports on that soft firewall that's on the router itself. And the moment you do that, you're exposed to all the risks associated with those different services. So you mentioned some of them already. There are many more, and they happen all the time. But you are opening up yourself to that vulnerability just by making it more convenient for yourself to play the games. We see this also in terms of people using different streaming services as well. We tend to configure our home router for convenience and not for the workplace.
So that were the case, are we talking about then my gaming experience or my viewing experience hampered if I were to put in too many closed doors, so to speak?
Not necessarily. It's a matter of choice. I think that if you're a gamer and you're trying to open up so you can play the game, the most important thing is to make sure that you're following the correct protocols, that you're not just opening up the ports. I've seen this myself in my own house with teenagers who lose patience with trying to follow the instructions from the service itself, which are good and proper, and decide instead, I'm just going to open all the ports. Right? And just because that is so much easier, right? Again, convenience. And that's in the mindset of people that I want to do it for convenience, and all the security gets in the way. It shouldn't have any impact on your experience as long as you follow the instructions correctly. That's
all
really
right.
The point.
So let's talk about the current situation where it's all just sort of melding together, work time, play time and living, I suppose.
Yeah.
The potential security loopholes then with corporate VPNs, because there is that complacency, if you will. I'm protected.
Yes.
I've got the corporate VPN.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think the first point is that, you know, when you're connecting into a VPN, what it's protecting is that session, so that connection. It's just that one tunnel. The best way to describe it is that what you're trying to do is you're logging into your VPN, you're connecting to your ISP, then you're connecting from there to the internet, and then eventually to your corporate network. Now, this happens instantaneously as far as we're concerned. It happens very, very quickly. But that is a moment where you are exposed, even on that session. Once you create that handshake with the corporate VPN infrastructure, then you have a tunnel that's protected and encrypted, but it's only on that session. Both ends of the tunnel may potentially be compromised already, in which case you're just protecting bad traffic through that tunnel. But the thing to remember is that that's not true for every VPN. It really does depend on the type of VPN that you have in place and the corporate infrastructure that you put in place around that. So it's not true for everybody. For many now, they're using an always-on VPN structure, which means that they're either connecting to a VPN that's through the cloud, and the moment that they log on with their laptop, they're connected to that VPN, or simply people have automated. So when you turn on your laptop, you don't have the choice. You must connect through to the VPN if you're using a work laptop. So there are many ways to get around that specific problem, but it is one that people need to be aware of.
Kevin O'Leary is Field Chief Security Officer for JPEC at Palo Alto Networks. Talk to us then about, this is on top of, say, some of the policies that organizations already have in place, maybe, to ensure the security of their corporate devices whilst their workforce is at home.
Yes, one of the big problems here is that the routers that people are using at home are not provided through the workplace, right? I buy my own, everybody buys their own. In that case, it's very hard to impose a structure on people, especially in this situation. You may have policies that would say you must do something when you're at home and use a certain type of router, etc. But if you've not provided it as a company, then you really don't have any control over that device itself. You're depending on your users to follow that proper hygiene. So if you're thinking about this long term, there is a possibility of creating a new line dedicated to work, as we used to do in the past. I think when people started working from home 15, 20 years ago, and I know this for myself, we had dedicated lines installed in our homes. Now, that's probably not practical, which means that to get around this, you must, of course, have user awareness. You must be teaching people, give them every assistance possible in terms of configuring their home networks. But it also means that work devices have to be properly secured and managed. So just normal hygiene in terms of following a patching process with your laptops and with your devices.
Yeah, but you're saying, though it's not practical, is it possible that post-COVID world will look like that?
Well, I think some are finding that they're going to have to go down that road, because anecdotally, we've seen different companies that once they've been given a work-from-home notice for their workforce, have found it impossible to send 100% of the workforce home. Now, some of that is down to the specific tasks that they perform,
yeah.
So that's understandable. But for a lot of them, it's simply the load that they have on what we call VPN concentrators. So VPN concentrators, that's that infrastructure on the corporate network side that's taking all of these VPN connections and managing those. And most of them were designed for having maybe a certain percentage of your workforce connecting remotely, people who are traveling, people who do work from home. Mm. But often, certainly in Singapore, that might be 20, 30% of the workforce at any one time. And now it's 100% of people all the time connecting in. So it's a whole new different challenge. So I think that those corporate policies in terms of how you manage remote users, now that it's moved into a kind of a mandatory phase, at least for a period of time, they need to be ready to manage that. So where infrastructure
what needs to
has
happen then?
They need to start investing in that infrastructure. So it might be just a question of changing some policies. It might be a question in terms of looking at how you've built that VPN infrastructure and whether you need to move to something a bit more cloud-based, something that's automated. There's definitely a lot of solutions out there that can manage that from a variety of companies, not just from Palo Alto Networks, but from a variety of companies that can help in terms of building that infrastructure.
And the gaming sector, does its security infrastructure need to change as well? If mom's going to be at home all the time cramping my style with her work, the VPN network or whatever.
Yeah, well, it's a little bit more difficult on that because I did spend some time maybe about 20 years ago working with some specific gaming companies, looking at their infrastructure and how they constructed their networks. And the whole idea in terms of gaming to give you that seamless experience is to have these incredibly fast networks and very fast servers and to be able to jump from one to the other seamlessly so you don't even notice that you're moving from one server to another. And that's been designed for convenience. So I do think the gaming industry in general needs to look at that a little bit more deeply, both in terms of how they've designed that and what they need to invest in to maintain that user experience. I mean, there's no doubt that we all, you know, those of us who do like the game, we don't want that change. I'm certainly not saying I want to make that more difficult. But that is something that they will have to look at, especially because there is a value that now in the gaming world. I mean, you mentioned it earlier in terms of, you know, the different virtual dollars that people are using. But this is currency. I mean, when you think about Bitcoin, this is what kind of drove the creation of Bitcoin. It wasn't just as a digital currency that we now see and some people invest heavily in. A lot of it was down to making transactions on World of Warhammer, you know. So yeah. it was a way of managing that. So this spills into, that virtual spills into the real world. And that needs to be managed very, very seriously. So, and again, I think a lot of us are now that we are stuck at home, we're looking at entertainment, in inverted commas, in a different way, and how valuable it is to have something like gaming, which does connect people. I know this myself from, you know, being separated from my family on traveling and being able to connect through a game with my kids, that it's a very important part of human interaction. So it is something that we should be taking seriously. So we expect that of the gaming industry to look at it in terms of that security aspect, but also in terms of how we legislate for that and the policies that we have in general in terms of how we manage this going forward.
This has made me want to go home and play games. I stopped at Diablo years ago. Kevin O'Leary, Field Chief Security Officer, JPEC for Palo Alto Networks. Thanks for joining us today, Kevin. Stay safe.
Thank you, Howie. Same to you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.